And I'm turning now to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And our text tonight is verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And tonight we're going to consider this text and the surrounding text under the title, The Only Door to Salvation. The Only Door to Salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but when I see words like this, my mind begins to ponder certain questions. Have you ever asked the question, are there different types of doors? Well, of course there are, but have you asked this question? How many types of doors do we have in our homes? Apparently, and I haven't counted them all, there are 42 types of doors that are in our homes in this country. And doors are classified by their design, their operation, and how they connect different spaces. What about the eight most common doors? We have panel doors. They're the ones that are traditional. We have flush doors, completely smooth and flat on both sides. We have French doors, double doors, usually going out into the garden. We have sliding doors. They're the ones that go out into the garden. We have bifold doors. They look like an accordion that fold neatly in sections. And they're really helpful if you've got space-saving issues. There are stable doors. And I didn't know this, but actually there's another name for a stable door. It's a Dutch door. A Dutch door, which is split horizontally. So both parts of the door move independently. The top half doesn't have to move with the bottom and vice versa. These offer great ventilation, especially for pets. And children loved these doors as well. You find them on Wendy houses. And I don't know about you men here, you fathers and grandfathers, if you've ever tried to repair a Dutch door on a Wendy house. Well, there's another type of door. There's the pocket door. That's an interesting type of door. You slide smoothly on a track and directly into a hidden cavity. That's why it's called a pocket. And then at last but not least, there are fire doors. There are even fire doors on this building. They're engineered, specially constructed, heavy doors to resist or to slow the spread of fire and smoke. And then, of course, you could talk about sliding doors and revolving doors. And even doors on the space rockets. But none of these doors can help us in salvation. And that's why I want us to think about this tonight. The only door. The only door. There is only one door to true salvation. There is only one door to God. There is only one door to new life. There is only one door to eternal blessing. There is only one door to certain forgiveness and assurance. And this door is not a physical door at all. And we'll see how this is revealed to us in this passage. But I just want for a moment to think of certain characteristics of this door that are common to all doors. And all of us have used doors today. None of us, I take it, live in a house with those fantastic modern innovations where the doors seem to just open and shut and automatically on sensors. I don't think any of us live in a house like that. But let's think first of all as doors being available. They're available. Oh, the doors are always available. And this door is not a literal door. It's a personal door. It's a divine person. It's one who's eternal. There's no beginning and has no end. He's a member of the Godhead. Or more commonly, we use the word Trinity. He's an eternal person, a divine person, an immortal person. And he's God. God the Son. And he became man. And he constrained and contracted himself to a weak human body. And you meet him here in this text. In fact, you meet him throughout the Bible. Because he spoke in verse 10, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Now, doors don't speak, do they? But this door does. Verily, verily, an old word, it's double-barreled for a very important reason. This is very important. The one who said these words, "I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold." Verse 2, "He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Just think about it. Who is this person? Then he says in verse 9, "I am the door." Who is he? It's not a physical door. It's not a wooden door. It's not a glass door. It's a divine person. Well, of course, it's Christ. He's available. He's available to those who will seek him. Secondly, doors are accessible. In ancient times, they built houses differently. In the ancient Near East, they built houses with a doorway. Only the rich had a hallway. Most houses had a door and you'd entered straight into the house. Might be a bit disconcerting or disruptive in certain cultures. I remember being in Africa a few years ago. Well, that's quite a few years ago now when I think about it. About 20 years ago. And I remember staying in a village. And they were lovely people and they were very friendly. But they didn't understand what privacy meant. And because there was a door straight into the place where we were staying, they just came straight in. Ah, but this door. And the doors of ancient times gave you entrance into somebody's house, and sometimes the house had only one room if they were poor. As I said, the rich had a hallway where people had to wait before they were accepted. But this door is accessible. This door is accessible tonight, but it's only accessible by faith, by trusting in and relying upon the one Jesus Christ. A third thing about the doors are they lead somewhere. Although, sometimes, we've probably been caught out. Doors should always lead somewhere. I don't know if you've ever been in one of these ancient houses. And these huge, big cupboards, we call them wardrobes, ancient wardrobes, massive things. Take up half the room. And sometimes you could be mistakenly think that one of these cupboards is actually another room. A few years ago, I was staying in an old house that had been converted into a hotel and it was still under renovation. I found myself walking into places that I shouldn't be because all the signs that would have been there before the renovations had all been removed. And indeed, it's important to remember that a door leads somewhere. But not all religions lead us to Christ. Some people tell us that all doors lead to heaven. All roads lead to heaven. All roads lead to God. It doesn't really matter what kind of God you worship, as long as you worship a God. But that's not Christianity, is it? There's only one door that leads to God, friends. There's only one door that leads to salvation. There's only one door that leads to forgiveness for sin and peace with God. There's only one door that's both personal, divine, and able to save. There's a fourth thing about the doors. They restrict access. They restrict access. A locked door means no entry. A door with a special sign, and you can read these in various places, hotels, museums, even on board ship. Authorized personnel only. Suppose you were able to go through one of these doors in a museum. What would you find? You'd find all kinds of artifacts that aren't on display. But this door does not restrict access to God. Christ does not say to a seeking soul, a seeking sinner, "No, you cannot enter." Because notice what he says. Speaking about himself, "He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." And the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep and he leads them out. But notice in our text, verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any girl enter in, he shall be saved." It doesn't say he might be saved. It doesn't say if he does some good works he shall be saved. He enters in. That's the picture language of believing, trusting in Christ. Trusting in the door, if you like. Trusting in the shepherd of the sheep. The fifth thing about this door, it's exclusive. I've already mentioned this, but I want us now to major on this, if you like. It's exclusive. I did say it's the only door to God. Exclusive. That rules out every other door imaginable. It rules out every other entrance imaginable. There is only one door, friends, and that is Christ. God tells us in the Old Testament that he will send a Messiah, a Saviour, and it's by him you enter into life. It's through him and him alone that you'll be forgiven and you'll be acceptable. The old preachers would have said it's by entering into Christ. Or let me put it like this. Sometimes we think that faith saves us. Our faith. Is that strictly true? The Bible gives us a different picture. Our faith has come from somewhere. But let me put it a different way. How's about you? We see it as we believe into Christ. We believe into him. That's the picture of a door. We enter into Christ by faith. Now you see that all the other doors I described at the beginning are nothing compared to this exclusive door. Christ alone, by grace alone, entering into Christ. One other illustration that came to mind was from the Old Testament, was from Noah. He built an ark. Took him a long time. He preached for 120 years. He and his three sons built the ark together because no one else wanted to take part. They thought Noah was a little bit touched in the mind. He really had lost it. He told them that the judgment was coming, that God was going to destroy the world. They mocked him. They laughed at him. And he built this ark, this great ship, in the middle of land, where there was no ocean, where there was no sea, where there was not enough water to float this ark. By the way, the ark is more likely to be thought of as a great big barge rather than a sea-going yacht or a liner. It didn't need to have sails because it was going to coast or to float on the top of the currents, even of the tempestuous waves. But there was only one door in the ark. Not two. There wasn't an entrance into the ark and an exit out of the ark. It was the same door. God told Noah exclusively, build a door in the ark. But before that, he says, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit, that's a hand breadth, shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. Now, what does that mean in English? God didn't tell Noah to put the door at the top of the ark, but in the side of the ark, so that the animals could be brought up into the ark through the side of the ark. And when the time came, those same animals would be then released back the same way. How did Noah know all this? God told him to do this. And Noah proved his faith in God by doing exactly what God told him to do. One exclusive door. How do I access heaven, says somebody? Through the door. Where's the door? Ah, this is where this chapter helps us. You look to a shepherd. No ordinary shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. So we've seen that doors are available, they're accessible, they lead somewhere, we trust. They can restrict access. This door is exclusive. But sixthly, and perhaps more importantly, now we move to the heart of the matter, there's a special door. And I want you to notice this. The Lord Jesus uses very important words here. He that entereth in by the door is the sheep of the shepherd of the sheep. Now we need to remember this is a pastoral landscape. This is a farming illustration. This is animal husbandry in ancient times. They didn't necessarily have hedges in their fields. Some of us who have been to the Middle East, to Israel, see that these sheep and even the goats are just scattered amongst the hills. It's very interesting that the people of Israel love to have sheep. But the sheep wander here and there. And everybody knows whose sheep belongs to whom. So who's the shepherd? And what's this door? Notice it's not a gate. We have this idea that it's like a gate that swings on the hinges. No. Perhaps it's better to remember that this is perhaps something like outside the village. There would be a walled area or a fenced area where all the sheep will be kept overnight to protect them from wolves, from bears, from lions, and even from sheep stealers, or as the Lord Jesus speaks about, thieves and robbers. So there's no gate. I remember as a boy watching One Man and His Dog. Do you remember that? Astonishing. The training of these dogs. Don't worry about the shepherds. It was the dogs I was amazed with. These shepherds had taught their dogs very well. But these dogs obeyed exactly what the shepherd told them to do. Of course, the shepherd in one part of the course had to open a gate. And the dog, the sheepdog, the collie was to shepherd or perhaps even encourage the sheep to enter into the pen. And then the shepherd would shut the gate. That's not here. The shepherd is the door. That's the most important thing. The shepherd is the door. He doesn't get some kind of makeshift gate. He is the door. He is the one who protects the sheep, but he's also the one who lets the sheep in. That's so important. That's why Christ is exclusively the door. He's the one that gives permission to a lost sheep to enter in. Door of the sheep. Yes, he offers two other things. Protection. Once the sheep are in the sheepfold and he's on the outside of the sheepfold, all the sheep are protected. They're safe. This is a measure of safety. You see, some people think that, oh, if I'm under this great concern for my soul and I don't know what to do with myself, and if I come to Christ, will he not let me go? Will he not let me down? Will he not protect me? The Lord's word is clear. He will protect his sheep. He will defend his sheep. Because they're his. There's another thing the shepherd does. As the door, he provides for his sheep. We're not going to go through the whole passage, but you can read it in your own time. But I want you to notice one last thing. Unlike shepherds today, I don't know if many shepherds would ever be willing to lay down their life for the sheep. I don't know if there are many shepherds in the Lord's day who would have done such a thing. But you read about David, the shepherd king, and he wrestled with a lion and a bear to defend and protect his sheep. He was the youngest boy. All his older brothers were away doing things. Some of them were fighting battles for the King of Israel, and there was David the shepherd boy protecting his father's sheep, defending them. And our Lord Jesus protects us and defends us from all manner of wolves and lions and bears and even those who would steal us away. In this passage, the Lord is speaking to Pharisees, to religious leaders. They had been appointed to be the shepherds or teachers of God's people, but they'd forgotten their role. And they had forsaken their calling. But the good shepherd protects, provides, and if you notice, in verse 11, the good shepherd does something even more extraordinary. He giveth his life. For who? For the sheep. For his sheep. For those who will come to him. I was reading of a hymn. We don't have it in our hymn book, but I just wanted to read it to mention this, that with all I am, I guard my own. No stronger hand, no dark unknown, no vicious beast with snarling roar can touch my lambs. I am the door. One door to salvation. How can God allow people like us who have not lived as we should have done, how can he allow us to have fellowship with him? It's only through the shepherd. And look what this great shepherd did. He giveth his life. It's a voluntary gift. His life wasn't taken from him. And it's extraordinary to think of it. If you read the end of John's Gospel, the men who took our Saviour and whipped him and beat him and tortured him and persecuted him were nurtured by the one who allowed himself to be taken. Those cruel, cruel men were creatures. The wood from which the cross was made was a tree over which the Saviour had made sure it grew properly. And the one who was nailed to the cross, we call it Calvary, was the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. A perfect shepherd. A holy shepherd. Not just good outwardly, but goodness. We read in the most famous psalm in the Bible, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How? How can goodness and mercy, which are just words or concepts, how can they follow us? Because Christ is our good shepherd. David understood something of what the good shepherd would do when he was writing that psalm. And here Christ says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. How do you know whether you're one of his sheep or not? You've entered in by the door. You've trusted in him. You've relied upon him. You've known the blessing of God. You've known fellowship with God. You've known answers to your prayers. You enter into fellowship with him and you come away. Not that you come away for good, but you come away for service. You come away to do that which pleases him. There's another little thing I want you to think about. As the good shepherd has laid down his life for his sheep, beyond the door, which is the good shepherd, is abundance of life. Such abundance that lies behind the door of salvation. The old devil doesn't want us to even think about it. He says, no, 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 please don't enter in through that door. Well, he doesn't say please. He's not like that, is he? Don't enter in through that door. It's a waste of time. But your heart says, but there's something about this Christ. He's the good shepherd. I know these things. But I'm not sure whether I'll be accepted. Well, you need to enter in. But I'm not sure that I'll be blessed. You need to enter in. But I'm not sure whether he'll ever let me go. You need to enter in. What kind of abundance? Well, for an ordinary sheep, for a four-legged sheep, a shepherd always leads his sheep to good pasture. Not to dry wasteland. Not to arid wilderness. Not to a place where there's no water and no fodder and no pasture. And so it is with the good shepherd. He leads us. He feeds us. He guides us. He blesses us. The good shepherd lived a sinless life, died in the place of sinners, rose again the third day from the tomb, And those who come to him tonight will have an abundance of blessings. What kind of blessings? Well, you'll go in and out and find pasture. What kind of pasture? Daily nourishment, peace with God, spiritual joy, freedom from sin and from the chains that once bound us, blessings of God's presence and grace, blessings of salvation, peace and forgiveness, blessings of answered prayers and guidance in the big decisions in life, blessings of a settled assurance in Christ. There's another little stanza I found in the same hymn. Abundant life is offered here, a quiet rest, no need to fear, a life complete. Oh, come explore. Yes, come to me. I am the door. So may the Holy Spirit help us tonight to enter in through the door of the sheep. It's Christ. To enter in believing in him, in his life, his perfect life, of living the perfect life that none of us can live, of keeping all of God's commandments in every aspect, in fulfilling all that God has demanded of human beings, and then in going to Calvary's cross, laying down his life, giving his life for the sheep. Have you discovered this door? Then draw near to God. Have you entered in through this door? Then please, friend, don't hold back. And once you come through that door, you'll know something, a foretaste of the blessedness of living with Christ and living for Christ now and forever. There's one other little stanza. These are maybe from these words. I give my all. I lay it down. I bear the wounds, the blood, the crown. For love and life, true peace and more. Just enter in. I am the door. So enter through the door tonight. See, it stands open. It's accessible. It's He's available. He's accessible. He's here to bless. Can I commend to you the only door to God? The only door to salvation? The only door to eternal life? The only door to forgiveness for sin and peace with God, both now and forevermore? Christ, the door, stands here with open arms, outstretched, and says to our hearts, enter in. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, indeed we read in the scriptures that Christ is the way, he is the door for his sheep. He is the good shepherd who is the door of his sheepfold. And he is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. An exclusive door. A door indeed, the only door. Unique in every way. And yet tonight, many of us here have entered into new life and eternal life through the door which is our Saviour. O Lord, if there be any here who are holding back, who may be reticent, who may be reluctant, who may be unsure of what lies beyond the door, that tonight their fears and their concerns would be removed and they would come to Christ. and fall down before Christ and ask a simple prayer. Lord, may I enter in. May I enter into blessing and life eternal. May I enter into salvation. I come to thee with nothing in my hands, with no righteousness of my own. I come to thee, as it were, open before thee. And yet, Lord, I pray, accept and forgive me. Pardon and cleanse me. I believe that the shepherd died on the cross for sinners. Could he have died for me? O Lord, may thy word come home to each heart. May this glorious gospel ring true in each and every one of our souls. And may we go from this place rejoicing, not only once upon a time having entered in, but realizing afresh the blessedness of being a Christian. The blessings of provision, of protection, of salvation, the abundance of blessings, of guidance and direction and care and even concern and compassion from the shepherd. So hear our prayers, go with us and bless us this week. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.